middle of Tashri Afim, Al Afar Afar Horeis. Okay, almost Perek Beis. Pasuk Zayin. Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, we are in the middle. Tashri Afim, Al Afar, let's read the Pasuk one more time, we're in the middle of the Mefarshim. Okay, so the Pasuk says, Tashri Afim, Al Afar Eretz. We had two perushim we learned yesterday. The first perush was those people who the enemy, or in this case it is referring to the corrupt judges who stand and look down. They look down al afar eretz b'roi shtalim. They look down at their victim. The victim is lying in the mud, and the earth of the dust of the earth has been intertwined, has been pressed into the head, is filthied, has dirtied the head of the poor. The derech anavim yatu. Number two is the people of the society, they have corrupted the judges, have caused that the way of the humble has been corrupt, has been turned astray. The ish v'aviv yelchu el hanaro leman chalel l'shem kodshi, and a father and a son, they live with the nara hamura, so there is no shame in order to profane my name. So basically, Birchus Kohanim. If you're going to give him, you have to give it to all of us also. Just can't single out one person. Birchus Kohanim. Okay, so you have to give all of us, not just him. He's not a special character here.
Well.
Okay. So we have over here, we mentioned yesterday there are three different Averos. It alludes to Klal Yisrael's praise as being Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Goimlei Chasodim. Goimlei Chasodim corresponds to Hashe'av Malafar Eretz Beisalim. Instead of helping a poor person, you spit on him. But Derech Anav Yatu is the meat of Rachmanis. I don't know, maybe you can interchange. You have to maybe, one of those two refer to Goimli Chasadim and Rachmanim. And then comes, certainly the last clause is, Baishanim Ish Yaviv Yelchu El Hanara. There is no sense of shame. Okay, now we did yesterday the three Mefarshim. Did we finish the Radak? Okay, let's go. We did enough of the Radak. Okay, let's take a look at the Malbim. We're up to the Malbim. The Malbim was on page 281. Ha Shoyafim. What does it mean over here? Ha Shoyafim. According to the Malbim, means Umit Socher Ha'edi Shekim Nosan Shechad Ze Osu Eile Ha Shoyafim Uteevim Alafar Eretz. So the word he's translating the word Ha Shoyafim like the parish of Rashi. The Ha Shoyafim means. It means a she'ifa.
Yeah.
She'ifa means that that's the common translation in our vocabulary. It means those who have yearnings. Who is the one who hired the false witnesses and gave the bribe? It's going back in the previous part. The previous part says, according to the Malam, this, I think after we're learning Malam for a while, we get a certain feeling, a certain sense of his style. The Malam appears more than most of the other commentators on the page, has always a desire to stitch together all of the psukim. He does not like to break up psukim one from another. Many of the mefarshim that we study, they take each pasuk as a separate idea, a separate concept, and they do not necessarily relate one to the other. That's very, and you know, there's no relationship. At least the commentators on the page do not show there to be a relationship. The Malbim, there's a certain
what? I think you see it more in Chumash.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of commentary on why does this parsha.
But what about in the parsha itself? In each section itself, what's the connection between one pasuk and the next? Okay, so they're different mefarshim. Some do one way, one another way. But after learning the Malbim together for a period of time, I think it becomes very clear there's a certain pattern in his approach to understanding the psukim in Nach, and that is to stitch together the psukim. And he's doing that here. None of the other commentators have done this in this section here. where he shows that Pasuk Zayin is a continuation of Pasuk Vav. In Pasuk Vav, we describe the fourth sin. What is the fourth sin? Corruption. What is the corruption? People are giving money to the judge to persuade him to render a false verdict. Who is the one that's paying for this? Follow the money. Who is the one that's paying for this? So here the Malbum says, Pasuk Zayin is coming to address. Hashayafim. Umi sochar ho'edei sheker v'nos nashoychad. Who is the one that's paying the bill for the corruption? Like, you know, terrorism, you always read in the news. Follow.
Yeah.
What?
My answer would be George Soros. He's paying for all of it.
Who is paying the bill for the harm? Umi sochar ho'edei sheker v'nos nashoychad ze osu eile hashayafim. The people who have a desire, useivim. Al afar eretz. What does that mean? Lokachas afar eretz shel hadal. The people who want to steal the earth. People here, they're trying to steal territory. They're trying to take hold of property illegally. They are the ones who have what to gain. Therefore, they are the ones who are paying the bill of corruption. Ritzon lemar me'at kivras aretz sheyesh loy. The small amount of land. Now, we discussed yesterday this unique expression, afar eretz, instead of afar ho adama. And he's just explaining to us simply what it means, afar eretz. It means a small parcel of land. If you had a large piece of land, you would use another term. Afar means dust. Eretz means the earth. The two words together mean a piece of property that is so insignificant. You can plant there a few potatoes. You can plant there a few tomatoes. What already can you plant in this small area of land? Yet, there are people out there in this world that are so, they're so selfish, they're so corrupt, they'll do anything just to take possession, to steal for themselves even a small, teeny little piece of property. So that's ma'at kivras eretz sheyesh, the small, little kivras means a small measure of land which this person has. V'zayikhu b'roish dalim, im roisham sholdalim. They'll take this together with the head of the poor. What does this mean? By killing this person, by taking the poor person who owns a small piece of land, cutting off his head and killing him, now they'll be able to illegally take possession of the property. That is why they hire false witnesses and false judges. The Ali de Zed Derech Anav Miatu Yatu Estarkam Leduna Mishpat Maves Uritzacham. For the few dollars, the judges and the witnesses will do things which will bring about death. Kishvichas Damim Kal Beinehem Uvein Gilia Rois Ish Riav Yelchu El Hanara. And with regard to Arayos, the Hamir Arasa Shezem Moira Al Roiv Harpirza Meoid. This is the Shpitz. If it's the worst sin possible to have relations with a Naira. How do we know that? Because if a man has relations with an Eishes Ish, the punishment is chenik. The punishment is strangulation. If a person has relations with a Naira Hamarasa, the punishment is skila. And skila, according to all opinions, is worse than chenik. The fact that the Torah gives a more severe punishment for a Naira Hamarasa, a woman that is in between Kiddushin and Erisin, indicates that in the Torah's eyes, it is much worse, it is much more severe. And here the Pasuk is describing an Aruch HaRasa, not only is one person being nichshal, two people are being nichshal at the same time, in front of each other, father and son, there is no busha, shezem moira al roif hapirtza moira heder haboshes bebnei haharim, v'zel l'man chalel eshem kachi. This is the ultimate desanctification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So we have over here a very radical perush in this pasuk. Let's review. According to the perush of the Malbim, this pasuk is a continuation of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says that people are slipping silver coins and pairs of shoes to judges in order to corrupt the judgment. Who is doing this? Who's giving the coins? Where are these few dollars coming from? Who is giving the shoes? Who paid for the shoes to give to the judge in order to corrupt judgment? The pasuk here says it's the hashayafim, the people who have a taiva, people who have a yearning for what? Al afar eretz, real estate. The real estate moguls. How do you pronounce it? The real estate. What?
Real estate have always been troublemakers.
These moguls want to steal property. They're chalishing for a little piece of property, just a few meters of property, alafar eretz. So what do they do? Hashayaf alafar eretz. Those people have a yearning, who have a yearning for the afar eretz, biroy shtalim, they're willing to seize the afar eretz through murder. That's how far they're willing to go. The way the Malbim translates the roish means decapitation. They're willing to cut off a person's head in order to take possession of a small, teeny little section of land that we term here Afar Eretz. They want the Afar Eretz, even if they'll have to go to the extreme of chopping off the Beroish through the cutting off of the head, which is a metaphor for death of a Dal, a poor person to whom no one will come to defend. And by doing so, there is nothing they will not do. And that includes corrupting the entire system of justice. And that's what happens. The derech anavim yatu, the way of the humble, which in this humble is a metaphor for people who are just, who are correct. They corrupt. They turn. They make them corrupt. Period. That ends the sin. In the middle of this pasuk is where we really come to an end of pasuk vav. It's very funny what the Malam is doing. He's very creative, but he's really stopping in the middle of a pasuk. The pasuk vav discusses corruption. Al nichram bakesef tzadik ve'evyon babur na'aloyim. Who's doing this? Hashayafim al afar eretz bereshtal. People who are so desperate for a piece of land, they're willing to pay the price of murder. The derech anav miyatu, by doing so, that's why they give money to a judge, that's why they hire false witnesses, and thus the whole system of justice becomes corrupt, period. That's where the pasuk should stop, according to the Malbim. But it doesn't. It goes on to a new concept. Now we discuss gilui arayos. Society has become immoral. Broken down, the ish the aviv yelchu el hanara leman chalel eshem kashi. Now the truth is that question of why the pasuk stops there, you can ask an old mafarshim, because it's discussing a new concept. However, according to the Malbim, it's a bit more difficult because the Malbim is the only one that puts the beginning of this pasuk directly connected to the previous pasuk. None of the commentators that we've learned so far have put this pasuk together with the previous pasuk. The first pasuk discusses corruption. Pasuk Zayin discusses a new concept. People that are just cruel, wicked, cruel people who step on other people. They step on people, they throw them down into the earth. It's not a matter of stealing, it's just a matter of being barbaric. Yeah.
It seems to me that he's covering the big three here. Right?
Okay, how are you covering the big three?
Gilei Arayos, and then
Avodah Zarah. Very good. It's very, very good. No one says that, though, so far, at least that we've seen.
But it would fit it in the
context. It would fit very well. It would. That's a very nice idea. That's a beautiful idea. And that we have to add into the Perish Rebbe Michal. I'll say for Omos. You're saying very good over here. Over here, you have three different examples of the Zoris Chil Hashem. Okay, maybe we'll in the next part where it says V'yeid Anushim Yishtu Beis Eloheihem. There's maybe more of an explicit mention of Avodah Zarah in the next pasuk. Okay, but this is a very interesting approach from the Malbim. So Sach HaKol, how many perushim have we had for this pasuk? Let's listen. We're learning here. We should come away knowing something. We come away really with three very different perushim, simple pshutoy shel mikra for this pasuk Zayin. Hashayafim al afar eretz beroy shtalim. It's a very hard expression. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six words. What do these six words mean? In summary, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, it means cruel behavior. You don't like someone, you take him by his hair, you throw him on the floor, and you step on him. And by stepping on him, you cause the earth, the filthy dirt on your shoes and on the floor to get to come upon his head. It's now resting on his head. What does the min hashoyafim? It means to look down. So according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the translation of these six words are: there are evil people in this world who after they grab someone by their hair and they throw them on the floor and they step on them, what is the result? They stand tall and proud and they look down at their victim who is now lying on the ground, and they look at the earth that is mingled in the hair of the victim, his victim, who is a poor man. That's Rashi and Mitsudois' his parish. What?
Not necessarily physical, they throw him on the ground. The slander is also...
Right, okay, that's more of a metaphor. But first let's translate the word simply, and then we can make the metaphor. But in this context, it means cruel behavior. Get into a fight, you beat someone up, you throw him on the ground, you stand, you lord over him, looking down at his filthy body that has been dirtied with the earth, dirtying his head. Okay, then we have the second parish. The word hashayafim does not mean to stand tall and look down. It means to yearn. People who are searching for vulnerable people to whom they can take advantage of. So hashayafim, there are sick people out there that are yearning, when will I find the victim, a sucker? What? Evil, evil. They're evil people. Evil is a form of sickness. You know, there was a fellow... What?
Why?
Yeah. It's a sickness.
It's premeditated. No, but there's such a thing as evil in the world.
That's right.
And people portray evil.
That's right.
There's no... You say sickness, you're making an excuse.
You're right. I stand corrected. You're right. I could not agree with you more. Sickness has a connotation that you can be corrected.
But there's
evil is much deeper.
You make a choice. You make choices in your actions. And there is such a thing as sickness of the soul as well as
okay, these terms are thrown around. But you're saying there is, you don't know what it's like until you meet an evil person. There are many people in this world that are blessed who have never met an evil person. People are
about the Nazis, you know?
Right. This is evil, and unfortunately, amongst society, walking the streets. Forget about Nazi Germany. Talk about amongst us. There are people that when you meet them and when you are a victim, exactly what you said. This is not just a sickness. This is who they are. This is who they are. Evil is a force in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiyetz has created Barasi. Yetzahara, Barasi, Torah, Tavlin. Hashem has said, I have created in this world a force of evil. There's the Eitz Hadas, Toiv, Vara. Ra is something real. It's not just Toiv that went astray. A sickness is someone is healthy, he's Toiv, he's not feeling well today, so he does things that are not proper. You're right. That's not what Ra is. Ra is a creation of Ra. It is the Yetzirah, the Satan, the Malach HaMavet, and this force of Ra in the future will not be healed. It says in Chazal, the Yetzirah will be slaughtered. It will be eliminated. So the term sickness is correct. It's not necessarily correct. There are people who are really, in essence, good people. And they have a bad day, they do evil things. But when you meet an evil person, it's a different category. And what's so difficult is like exactly what you're saying. Most people are not like this. Most people are really good people, and if they do something evil, it's because they made a mistake. So there are people who never really met. They've been sheltered in this world. They've never met a truly evil person, and that leads them to think that there's no such thing as evil, and everything in this world can be worked out, and you don't really need to be on guard from the true definition of truly evil people. And then when you discover there's something called really real evil and they will destroy you, you're shocked.
Pointed out to me, you know, when terrorism became so prevalent that people would use the expression they're crazy. He said, no, they're not crazy.
They're evil.
Right.
They're evil. They are the epitome of evil.
When you were crazy, you were making an excuse for them.
You're right. You're 100% right. And unfortunately, I speak from experience also. Where I've encountered people who are not sick. This is who they are. This is their modus operandi. Operandi, how do you say that?
Operandi.
This is how they operate. This is their mahus. watch out. Don't get in their way. They don't see. They only see things one way. So
and
you are correct.
They try to make you the most vulnerable.
Yes, and that's what it says over here. The second perush in this pasuk is Hashay Afim al Afar Eretz. There are people who wander the earth in search of vulnerable people. Rabbi Chol correctly put us in our place yesterday to translate Afar Eretz refers to the aggressor, refers to the evildoer. This evildoer, he searches, he floats, he travels the earth, the Afar Eretz, in a matzav of shoyef, in a situation of where can I find a vulnerable person to whom I can sell the Brooklyn Bridge? Where? You wander the Afar Haaretz, searching, yearning. Where is that sucker that I can take advantage of?
The
scam. Beroy Shtalim. And then the next word, Beroy Shtalim, Beroy Shtalim, it means to find the head. Beroish Dale Koyahu, a person, the word Rosh, according to Rashi's parish, this is Rashi's parish, Beroish here means, Beroish means a person. Okay, you're searching, you're wandering the face of the earth in search of finding a Rosh. Rosh is a metaphor for a human being, is just a It's a little bit forced in Rashi. Okay, it's forced in the Mitzvahs as well. This earth that is touching, is dirty the person's forehead, his head. All right, but according to Rashi, Rosh means an individual who is dal, vulnerable, who's naive. Oh, very good. A headhunter. That's very good. Maybe that's where it comes from. A headhunter. Okay, we use headhunter as a good term. Someone gets you a parnasa. Avigdor Miller says, what is a true friend? To find for me the meaning of a chover, a true friend. Someone once asked this to me publicly, and he asked me to publicly respond in front of many people, define for me the meaning of a true friend. So I had no choice. I was on the spot. So I said, a true friend is someone to whom you are comfortable revealing your averos. And that was my vart. I saw this in a sefer that says Yehuda had a friend. The only place in the Torah we have the word friend, not the only place, one of them is Yehuda had a chover. I forgot the exact expression. The ish wadulami. It says in the pasuk that he was his friend. It says explicitly. I forgot the exact pasuk. He was his friend. And what do we find about this person who was the friend of Yehuda? It was to him, he said, I was mezane with a kedesha on the road. I was nichshol in an avera, well, whatever it was. And I gave her my ring and my staff. And what else did he give her? Three things. I gave her... I gave her my private possessions. Do me a toiva. The cloak, go to the crossroads. She's sitting there somewhere. Search her out. Give her the animal and get me back my signet ring, my cloak, and my staff. So that means he revealed to this person his dark secrets. So this was what I said is a friend. Basheva?
No, in
Yehonatan.
His name was Hiram.
Okay, Hiram. Hiram, Ishwa Dulami. Okay, right, there it's right, that's true. That's another example. But what is that's what I said is a friend. It's a friend. So he said to me, this person, this friend is very nice, very nice. But let me tell you what Avigdor Miller says, what a friend is. Avigdor Miller says a friend is someone who teaches you how to make money. Someone who's willing to spend time with you to teach you how you can make money. Tell you the trade secrets of what are the secrets, what are the techniques you need to do to make money. That is a true friend. It's very powerful, right? So here, a headhunter is someone that, you know, is looking to give you a job. He's making his own money, obviously, right? He's a shatran, just a fancy word for a shatran. But Rav Mechoi is saying very, very good. It's a headhunter. And here we have headhunters, not for good things, but for bad things. People that are wandering the face of the earth in search of heads, vulnerable heads, headhunters, to do what? To take advantage. Okay, the third parish, the parish of the Malbim, is, it's going back on the previous pasuk, who's paying the bill? Follow the money. Who's paying the bill? It's people who are shayafim, who are yearning to steal a little parcel of land, afar eretz. What are they willing to pay to steal a little parcel of land? They're willing to commit murder. They're willing to chop off someone's head, b'roish dalem. So it's amazing. We haven't had a pasuk like this in a long time, where there's so much variety, so much variation. Three perushim, Mitsudos, Rashi, Malbim. The Radak said the same thing as Rashi. It was as the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos and the Radak were on the same page, even though here they're one page apart. But in concept, they're on the same. Yeah. Okay, right. I just use it as an example. It's only for his own advantage.
But are we saying that a friend can be a
guy? A friend can be a guy. He wasn't Jewish. Yes. Nowhere does it say that Chiram was Jewish. Well, so and he was called a friend. And he is called a friend. Parshas.
Yield's friend.
Right after the Chiras Yosef. Right after Mechiras Yosef. Vayishlach, Vayeshev, Vayesap El Ochiv. Okay.
I don't think it used the word chosev.
I think it does. Let me see. Let's see. Maybe you're right. Vayhi bo esahi. Vayered Yehuda mees echo vayet ad ish ho adulami ushmo chiro vayeshav shom Yehuda as ish knani. He married her. Okay. Vayikach Yehuda. Okay. Let's see. What does it say? Vayev yeshlo zayna. Okay. Vayed leha vatem matitinli. Further. Vayasha vel Yehuda vayomer. Here go. Vayishlach Yehuda as gedi uizim biad reeyu ho adulami. So he's called a friend. Okay, so he's called a friend. So that's right. Doesn't say anywhere that the Yeshua Dulami was Jewish. Doesn't say it anywhere. And you see that a guy, but you have to also understand that this is before Matan Torah. So you get into the whole debate. What was the status of Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah? Only voluntarily. Even though they did all the mitzvahs, it's a chazal, it does not mean that there's still a very, very... important distinction between Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. There's Yesh V'Yesh. There are different stadim, but it's definitely something that you cannot ignore. That he's called the Yeshua Adulami was a Re'ehu of Yehuda, and Yehuda revealed to him his darkest secrets.
Do you think Yehuda revealed his
Averis to him? Well, this is not
an Averis to disassociate himself from the
Avera.
From society. It was a conspiracy to disassociate from the Avera in society. But you need people to help you. Whenever there's a problem.
So it's a co-conspirator.
Yeah, yeah. That's a real friend. That is a real friend. He's willing to go and help you protect yourself, cover up. Right? Everyone always talk about this, that all the big people go down not because of their Averos. All the big people go down because of the cover-up. That is a davar yadua. If a person does the worst, especially in America, if a person does the worst affair in America, and you're willing to confess and say, chotosi avisi poshati, I'm going for therapy. I've committed a crime, I'm guilty, you just say, I'm guilty, I'm sorry, and you meet with your victims, and you hug them, and you kiss them on television, and you say, Rabbi Sai, I'm not going to see you for 3 weeks. I'm going for therapy. And you go off to the Hamptons. as long as you exchange the term vacation for therapy, America, one of the biggest milos in America, Rabbi Sai, one of the biggest milos in America that has not existed in the history of the world, you could study this, is America is very forgiving. The people of America, the country of America, they have the ability to be moichel, b'lev shalem, provided the perpetrator asks for mechila.
Like Japan and Germany, we buy their cars. It was amazing.
We're very, for that selfish reason. No, I'm not even discussing. We're not even discussing. All the example you're giving is because that's selfish reasons. They make the best cars. They make the cheapest cars. Okay, but that's listen. But I'm talking about we have nothing to gain. Nothing to gain. Will you vote for someone? Will you vote for a politician for a second term if he did a terrible avera? So the answer is, you'll study this if the politician will come forward and say, I have sinned, I made a mistake, and I'm sorry, and I'm asking you for forgiveness, and I'm going to do concrete things that will never happen again by going for therapy, by changing the law. America is incredible. They're very forgiving, very forgiving. If you cover it up, you're finished. Mm-hmm. You're finished. They'll throw you out in 1 second. This is a novelty in the world history because in societies, people were not as forgiving as they are, even when an aggressor or a bal avera it's a mitzvah avera. And in the criminal system, you know, that's a very big difference. People who are guilty in crimes in court, before the sentencing, they have to say they're sorry. And if they don't say they're sorry, there's no remorse, there's no regret, then the judge throws the book at them. They give them the full sentence.
And what you referred to earlier is what we call the court of public opinion.
Yes, the court of public opinion.
Okay,
so let's go for a little bit. So over here, so again, people came a little bit later, but they have over here, it's really very, very powerful pasuk. Three different translations of this one pasuk, and it triggers on what is the meaning of the word hashayafim. Does it mean to stand tall and look down? Or does it mean to yearn, to search? What does it mean afar eretz? Does it mean dust particles that are making a person filthy dirty? Does it mean a parcel of land? Or does it mean a person who wanders? You wander the face of the earth. Three perushim. Beroish dalim means an individual who is poor, who is vulnerable. Three different perushim, how you stitch it all together to make sense of this one pasuk. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk ches. V'al begodim chavulim yatu. Now we go to another act of corruption. Chavuli means a chevel. What's a chevel? Chevel is another word for a mashkin, collateral. You lend a person money and you take from that person collateral. So what collateral? What did people take in ancient times as collateral? Clothing, expensive clothing. V'al begodim chavulim yatu, eitzel kol mizbeach. They bring clothing that they have in their possession as collateral, eitzel kol mizbeach. Now, there was the offer of these things, which is not really them, as an offering. Okay, we'll see a little bit more in a few moments. The yain anushim yishtu. Anushim means, money that is guilt money. So let's leave it for one moment. They drink in the base Eloheihem in their place of worship. Let's see the whole pasuk inside the mitzvah. Those pasuk has v'al begodim chavulim memashkinin bigdei hamisarvim b'mishpatam. People that refuse to pay up, the court seizes collateral. They come into their home and they take away their possessions. Umatim atzmam lismech aleim bi'eis hasu'uda. And the people, these judges who take collateral, they use it, they lean upon them. They use these items when they dine. They make believe it's their property and they use it to show off. You take as collateral a fancy suit and you wear that suit when you go to a state dinner. And wow, you have such nice clothing, you're such a chashva person, this suit cost $10,000. You must be a very wealthy, honorable person if you could afford to buy such a suit. You don't own the suit. The suit has been stolen, taken illegally as collateral from a victim from a person to whom you've issued an illegal or corrupt judgment. Person comes to court and the plaintiff says the defendant owes me $10,000. It's a total lie, a total fabrication. So what happens? The plaintiff, he slips under the table to the judge $10. So the judge says, okay, you gave me $10, whatever you say I'm going to do, you are making a claim that this person owes you $10,000. Guilty, Mr. Defendant, you owe so-and-so $10,000. Pay up. I don't have anything to pay. I'm broke. Oh, you don't? Okay, so I'm sending down my officers to your home. They're going to seize your private possessions. They come into the home. What do they find there? They find there this exquisite suit that's been lying around, whatever, that's worth $10,000. And the judge takes it for himself. And the judge says, or the plaintiff takes it, and he says, when you pay the $10,000, you'll get back your suit. In the meantime, the person puts on the suit, either the judge or the plaintiff, to go to a party, and wow, look at him, he looks so good in that designer suit. That's all, the sin gets worse and worse. It's bad enough that money was taken as a bribe, and then he decides in favor of the one who gave him the bribe. And then when there's no money to pay off the loan, they illegally seize assets. Then not only do they seize the assets, they use the assets for their own benefit. The crime gets deeper and deeper. That's what it's described over here, according to Parashat Metzudos. They mashkin, umatim atzmam. Matim means literally to lean. They lean upon it. Lismoich, he explains, it means lismoich alehem be'eis hasuda mashahem soyadim, eitzel kol mizbeach, he'osud lapasilim. They go to a party where they worship idols. They go to a party and they show off in their beautiful clothing when they go to worship offerings to idols. V'yein anushim yishtu, me'anshim es ha'misariv los es kesef. They steal person's money illegally, and with that money that has been seized illegally, they purchase liquor. They purchase alcohol, and they drink, and they get drunk at a party where they worship an idol. When they worship idols. This is the parish of the Mitzudos David. So again, to review, it's a continuation to a certain degree of the previous pasuk. There's corruption, and they when the victim does not have money to pay, his assets are stolen and are seized as collateral, and that collateral is used by the perpetrators when they go to a party in honor of a god. And with the money that they've also taken from another victim, they purchase, what happened here? With that money, they purchase, the battery's gone, they purchase wine, alcohol to drink at this party. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik Ches. V'al begadim chavulim yatu, tirgim yonis and al shivoyon dimashkoin misacharon. Which means, he explains here the term over here in the next line, Zoykvin milvois al choaniim, the poor people owe money. What do? Okay, you don't have the money to pay now, so you'll owe it to us. We'll give you 30 days, we'll give you 6 months to pay off the debt, the money that is owed. In the meantime, we have no choice but to take from you a mashkin, collateral. Umimashkinim oisam v'oisin bigdehem matzois. And they take their clothing, their garments, and they make their clothing as mats. Umisibin alehem behatoya be'esudasam. It's like the haseder. At the seder, you do haseba. What do you do haseba on? On your bed, on your chair. The bed is draped in some beautiful embroidered garment. So these beautiful embroidered garments, where did they come from? They were seized illegally from the poor, from the vulnerable, and now the perpetrator or the judge, they drape their own beds, and when they attend this suuda, they are reclining upon them. Yatu l'shoin misiba, it means to recline. Shekol misibas suudas, every time we sit at a meal, we recline. Behatoyahi shuhu nismach al smoloi, you lean on your left side. It sounds like out, right out of the seder, right? What?
Leaning or inclined, like or anything leaning.
Now it's very interesting. Now we know that today this is not our style anymore. We have not done Haseba for generations. Even in the time of the Rishonim, they do Haseba. When was the last time you did Haseba? Whatever it is.
Pesach.
We do a Pesach. We just do Zeichel Davar. It's not a real Haseba. Well, we do Haseba. We learned a lot about this, about Haseba Bizban Hazeh. What exactly is the significance? There are many nafkaminas. Halach l'mayis, a person forgets to do Haseba. There are some places that are very lenient and hold you do not have to drink of Dal Kaisais, because Bizman Hazeh, there really is no such thing as Haseba. So maybe it's a chiddush to say such a thing. If a person forgets to do Haseba, does he have to drink the Dalet Kaisais again? Me'ikar hadin you do. You will, it's tzcherus. If you don't drink the dalet koisos be'aseba, lo yotso yidei choyvosai. There are a minority of opinions who argue that bizman hazeh, it's not cherus. It's very uncomfortable, in fact, to do haseba bizman hazeh. So even though the halach is you have no choice, you must do heseba, but if you do forget to do heseba, are you really mechuyev v'zman hazeh to repeat, drink the dalad koisois again? I don't remember the exact final psak halacha, but I think by noshim, I'm almost certain by women, if they forget to do heseba, they certainly do not have to drink the dalad koisois again, because noshim, even in ancient times, did not do heseba. It was only
sneers?
What? Not sneers, because that was just a derech. It was only men. It was a man's world in those days. Oh, so that's what the Ramah says. Only in ancient times, Noshim Chashuvos did Haseba. But Stam Noshim did not do Haseba. And the Ramah writes that Bizman Hazeh, Noshe, everyone quotes this, all of the feminists quote this Ramah, Bizman Hazeh, Noshe Didon Kulon Chashuvos. In our generation, our Noshim are all Chashuvos, so therefore Noshim, Bizman Hazeh are obligated to do Haseba. What happens if a woman forgets to do her seba? Has she fulfilled her obligation? So that all the poskim said that yes, a woman does not need to repeat and drink the dalad koisos again, because since me'ikar hadin, noshim didn't do her seba in ancient times. Only noshim chashuvas. So bizman hazeh, all of our noshim are chashuvas. But when you add to the equation the fact that bizman hazeh doing her seba really has no significance, because bizman hazeh doing her seba is more of a tircha, it really makes you uncomfortable. So when you combine this together, if a woman forgets to do her seba, she definitely does not need to re-drink the dalid koisos. A man, someone who extend that spur even to a man, I don't think everyone goes so far because men are mechuyev to do her seba, and the takana remains the way the takana is, even though it's still today uncomfortable and we don't feel that we're accomplishing anything with it. But since that's the derech of the way we're supposed to do the mitzvah, it does not change anything bizman hazeh. But at least you do such a kaza. Over here, I want to put a little bit of a machshav of a drush. Over here, Rashi, over here, by translating the pasuk over here, is that after the corruption goes so far, where the person, the ganav, he takes now a mashkoin from his victim after he bribed the judge to convince the judge to decide in his favor illegally, and then the victim does not have the money to pay for the verdict. And in the meantime, and he has to owe the money to the ganav as a loan, and in the meantime, the ganav takes his beautiful embroidered garment for himself as a mashkin, and what does he use it for? He uses it for heseba on Lel Pesach. Now, it would be bad enough to use this for his seba when he watches the Super Bowl. But to use it for Lel Seder is such an ava, because the Lel Seder is the Zman of Chirus. Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadahim v'le avadim l'avadim. It's the Zman where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown Klal Yisrael the greatest love, and the purpose of the Tzias Mitzrayim was l'man to come to Har Sinai to be mekabel the Torah. This is the moment. This is the moment, the highlight of the year. And to use the object the object which represents the corruption of Klal Yisrael as the instrument you're going to use to show his seba, Zman Cheruseinu, it's the spitz, the ultimate hypocrisy to do such a thing. So it doesn't say that in Rashi. I'm just telling you a little bit of a drush. Over here, he's telling you a pshat. Over here, is we have over here the garment, which is a mashkoin, yatu. The people are going to do heseba. Eitzel kol mizbeach, near a mizbeach. What's the mizbeach? Rashi doesn't really elaborate what the mizbeach is, but we know from Chazal, if we want to give some religious flavor to this pasuk, the shulchan of the person is called his mizbeach. That's a Chazal. When a person eats a su'uda, the table, your dining room table, is equivalent to the mizbeach. And that's one of the reasons why salt, there always should be salt on the table. Al kol korboncha takriv melach. And that's why we always keep on the table salt. There are many different ideas where the person's table is the mizbeach. When you eat, it's like it's a sacrifice. And you have to l'shem shemayim. So when the people are going and they're doing haseba in front of their dining room tables, look at the chutzpah, the hypocrisy. Here we're coming to celebrate the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's taken us out of Mitzrayim to make us the Am HaNivchar, to be a nation that's above and beyond, head and shoulders above the Umos Olam. And how do we celebrate? by using stolen property, using for Seba embroidered garments that were seized illegally from vulnerable poor people who the judge issued a verdict because the judge was bribed. Ad kedei kach. That's how far the corruption goes. V'yein anushim, and the money they've actually seized from their victims, they drink in the place of their gods. Rashi, v'yein anushim she'oin shim oisa momon v'shoisin boyayin. They punish them by demanding money, and they drink this wine, b'beis elohim, b'beis avodah zara, etzel mizbech oisam, in the church, right near their altars. Let's see, take a look at the Radak now, pasuk ches in the Radak. How he learns pshat in this pasuk. So for Rashi and the Mitzudas were basically the same. Malbum said, the Radak, page 21, pasuk ches v'al begodim chavulim yatu shayim chavulim habegodim be'asher lo yidnu al piyem. The judge takes collateral from the people who have not paid off their debts through the decision, the illegal decision of the judge, and then v'yoychlu v'yishtu aleihem v'botei avodah zara, and they eat upon them. U'perush yatu. Yatu atzmam lechosev. They use it as an item to recline upon when they eat. Eitzel kol mizbeach ve'al hamachol ve'al hamishte ve'hahasiba nigres hatoya lefi shemate adam atzmai kishrechev. When a person he leans upon a bed, a chair, when he eats. V'chein b'mishneh yatu v'yikru v'hitesi likreis. Different examples of where it means to lean. So pretty much the Radak saying exactly the same thing as the Mitzvahs and Rashi. Let's see the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Ches.
So he adds that they, not only do they drink in the idol houses, they eat in the idol houses.
Correct.
Which was not what the Mitzvahs stubborn in Rashi.
No, that's what they're doing. When are you doing a Seba? You're doing a Seba when you eat.
No, not the Seba, the place of eating.
The place of eating is by the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach? So Rashi...
In their idol houses. To the
correct, right. Rashi, I think that's
that
what
Rashi said. You could have it privately on your own.
Right, so right, he didn't say that it's the Su'uda by Avodah Zarah, but the base Elohim he does say.
Yeah.
Similarly, when it says base Elohim at the end of the pasuk, it's going back on both. It's going back by the, on the mizbeach and on the drinking of the wine. When it says base Elohim, it's going back on the entire pasuk. They seize garments, exquisite garments as collateral, and they use them in the churches in front of the Mizbeach and in front when they eat and they drink. That's seemingly what it seems to say. I told you a bit of a drush.
Some idea, expressed in a different way.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go to the Malbim page 281 at the bottom. The Al of Inyan Avodah Zarah Al Begodim. So Mechol, I think that's exactly what's come to Sylvia. He actually did say that in the very beginning. Your idea that these psukim here is describing the Gimel Averos Chamuros. It's an elaboration. Al Shloisha Pishay Yisrael the Al Arba'o Lo Yashivenu. He learns Hashem is not going to forgive Klal Yisrael, not for the three. And not for the fourth. And first, we're going to describe the three. What are the three? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. We go in a different order. We start off with Shvichas Damim. That was Pasuk Vav. There's a bribery. And the bribery goes so far where you're willing to go and commit murder. Beroi Shtalim, you're willing to steal a piece of property by giving a few coins to the judge to the degree where you'll cut off someone's head. Avodah Zarah, Shrich HaStamen. Then the Pasuk said, Ish Yavav Yelchu El Hanara, that's Gilui Arayos. And now Pasuk Ches is Avodah Zarah. So you said, Laman Chal Hashem Kadshi was Avodah Zarah. What?
Pasuk Zayin, Laman Chal Hashem.
So that's what Michal said. So, but that's part of Pasuk Zayin. So seemingly that's a continuation of Gilui Arayos. Any other person does the Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem is not only Avodah Zarah. Arai is also Chil Hashem. Everything a person does is Chil Hashem that's not Lefi the Torah. So, in Echadam, sometimes we associate Chil Hashem more with Avodah Zarah. But here, the Malbim is saying that when we begin Pasuk Ches, we're now coming to the third. And the third is V'al U'V'inyan Avodah Zarah. We've already explained Shvichas Damim. They're willing to chop off people's heads for a piece of land. We've already explained that Gilui Arayos, father and son, are willing to together have relations with Adar HaMarasa, and with regard to Avodah Zarah, what do? They take as collateral the garments of the poor, and they dedicate them. Here we have a different parish. It's not like we've learned, not like the three Mepharshim we've learned until now. They're not using this as something to recline upon. They give it as a donation to the church. The Yagdishu Asam Limizbeach Habal Lifrois Limizbeach Habal, to the Mizbeach of Baal. Which Avodah Zarah are we referring to? So the Avodah Zarah of choice. This was the one that we learned so many times. Avodah Zarah of Baal, one of the most popular forms of idolatry. Lifrois Oisam Eitzel HaMizbeach, to spread it before the Mizbeach. Ulohosno, he says the same thing. I really meant Ulohosno Velem Groichlam Mizifre Elohim, and to recline upon it when they eat from the sacrifice of the offering of the Baal. V'chein ayayin sheyishtu b'reis avodah zarah lichvoid ha'elilim, k'may shekos v'asher chelev zevachem v'yachelu yishtu yein nesicham, like it says in Devarim, they eat from the fats of their offerings and they drink from the wine. By in Klal Yisrael, we give the fats to Hashem. The fats are burnt on the Mizbeach and yayin is poured on the Mizbeach. In the church, the people eat the fats and drink the wine. Hu yein anushim. What does the word anushim? It comes from the word onush, onesh, a punishment. It is the punishment of the judge. The judge declares, issues a punishment upon the poor person. He has to pay money. The money that is taken away from the poor is used to purchase wine, which is consumed in front of the altar, the sacrifices in the church. Sheyichu mamon meis hatzadikim ho anushim that are punished. Mehem be'oinish mamon lishos mimenu yayin lavodah zarah be'oifen she'im chet avodah zarah ma'orav chet gezel shoyd. So with the chet avodah zarah, it's all intermingled. Ma'orav chet gezel v'shoyd aniyim ve'inkas elyoinim. He does not mention Gili Arayas. If we could only embellish what it says here in the Malbum with a chazal that says the purpose of worshipping idols was only done in order to open up forbidden relations. To give a license to be engaged in forbidden relations with relatives and married women. That's what chazal say. Why did they engage in this bizarre behavior of worshipping sacrifices to the gods? It was just an excuse. It was a technique to open up the ability to engage in physical pleasure of having relations with women that society would otherwise not allow people things to have been done. So if you take all of that together, embellish what it says in the Malbim, you have here the combination of Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. What's happening? They steal money. And the only way you can steal money and get away with it is to murder your victims. So no one will come and complain, where is my money? What do they do with that money that they've stolen through murder? They offer sacrifices to the gods. For what purpose? To what purpose? Because they create a new religion, and in this new religion, the ideology of this new religion is just a front in order to engage in forbidden relations.
It's a
shop. A lot of strange things shops I'd see. What can I tell you? He was a strange bird. Yeah?
That we have issue with our Messiah on it. So why it says Al Shlosha B'Al Arba, if that's what you say, right? I mean, that's the major. So I thought perhaps that the reason it says Al Shlosha and then Al Malva is to teach you that we know that there are three Averis that Yechayim, Harigal, Yava. And those are the three big Averis.
Correct.
So you wouldn't think that for the three is Ababi you're not going to be forgiven. Uh-huh. But for the fourth, maybe it's not as chamor. It's less of one. Maybe on the fourth one, God will forgive you.
Even the fourth one. It goes without saying that you will not be forgiven for
even
the first
though the three are the only ones, but Har-Yavar, this is...
It goes without saying that you're not going to be forgiven for the first three. But even what is trivial in your eyes, you are held to a higher standard, you will be punished.
Okay.
You will be punished. It's very good. Very good. Okay, so this is the parish of the, this is a little embellishment. That is the parish of the Malbim. Okay, let's see. Let's start the next pasuk. Okay, the next pasuk was a few more minutes. V'anochi hishmariti eschemor mibneihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here says, how dare you? How dare you do something like this? I've been so good to you. How can you engage in the Gimel Averos Chamurais, all of the various Perushim, all intertwined? I have been so good to you. I have obliterated the Emori Mipnehem in front of them. Asher Kigoiva Arozim Gavai. Who were the Emorim? The Emorim were giants. They were tall like the tallest cedars. What? It's a little bit. Goiva arozim gava. Their height was the height of a cedar tree. It means they were massive. V'chosoin hu, strength. The word chosoin means power, strength. Their strength was ko'aloinim. This is a type of wood which is known for its strength. Oak. It's not soft wood. It's hard, hard wood. V'ashmid piryoy mimal. I cut down their fruit from above. V'sharashav mitochas. Look how good I have been to you. I have wiped out your enemies that are powerful. Pasuk Yud. V'yonochi ha'lesi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt. V'olech eschem b'midbar arboim shana. I protected you in the desert for 40 years. L'oreshes to possess this eretz samori, to possess this land. What else did I do for you? V'akim nivneichem l'nivim u'mibachurechem l'nizirim. I've established from your children prophets, and from your young men nizirim, a nazir. I'll explain that in one moment. Ha'af ein zos b'nei Yisrael num Hashem. Have I not done even this, my people? Have I not? Look at the mitzvahs over here. Look over here on the bottom of your page 284. Just skip ahead to these words. Just translate these words. Ha'af ein zos ritzon loymar v'higam zos tichachashu loymar. Are you going to deny this also? Are you going to rewrite history and deny that I've been so kind to you? It's something you cannot deny. Okay, we are not going to go around. I just want to touch upon two things very quickly. And that is Holocaust denial. Okay, we live in a world today where there's a terrible, terrible epidemic in this world where we're fighting on many, many fronts something that's blatantly obvious or blatantly true. People are trying to rewrite history in many different forms and variations and dimensions. The Holocaust never happened. The worst Holocaust, though, I personally believe, was what happened last year in Poland when they passed a law that anyone that says that the Polish government was involved in any way whatsoever with the extermination of 6 million Jews should go to jail for 3 months. I didn't mind. Even though it may be true that the government was in exile for the good part of the war, but there's no question, there's no doubt in the world, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Polish people, they relished, they participated, they encouraged, they did everything in their hands to help out the Nazis in the extermination of the Jews. Of course, there are exceptions. There are tzaddikei umos ha'olam. There's no doubt. There's no exceptions. But by and large, the government is guilty as sin. To pass a law, in my opinion, is the spitz. A law, a government, a state, to pass a law that it's illegal to mention one thing that we have anything to do with this is beyond the pale of anything that has happened in the 75 years since the Holocaust, at least in my opinion. And how anyone cannot see the obvious, and we always mention is this idea that and if you listen, you read the newspapers. The only argument is, oh, you know, the survivors, you have to be sensitive to the survivors. That's an argument. Forget about the survivors. Let's talk about the dead. Dnei ochiv tsoyakim olai min hoadama. There's been no mention in the news, the media, about people who come to argue about it's not nice to the dead. They only argue that it's just not nice to ruffle the feathers of the survivors. What about the dead? What right do we have to go and allow such an insult to the 6 million people who died to say, oh, Poland, oh, they had nothing to do with this? Okay, now, why am I saying this? It's because it's a very frightening thing. It says here in this Mitsudois, the way you translate the pasuk, and others as well say this, And something I want to connect this to what many Gedolim say about blood libels. There's another outrageous lie that's also beyond the pale, that Jews kill non-Jews and take their blood and use it to bake matzahs. And it's going on, would you believe, ad hayoyim hazeh. There, every year there are articles in today's media in Egypt and in the Arab nations for sure. Every year they'll show you in print, the Jews go and they take blood of non-Jews to make baked matzahs. And it creates enormous anti-Semitism. This has been a very big churban for us for the last 1,000 years. So there are Gedolim who say, there have been many Gedolim who have said, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such an outrageous lie to continue to perpetuate in this world? It's because of Mechiras Yosef. Because they took the tunic of Yosef and they dipped it in blood, in fake blood, blood of an animal, which they selected blood that is the most similar to human blood, and they presented it to their father, Yaakov Avinu, and look, Yosef is dead. Here is your kisoynes pasim, it's drenched in blood. There's no greater avera than that. And Gedolei Yisrael have said, I couldn't say this, but Gedolei Yisrael have said, mida kenegin mida. That's why this has always been for us such a tzara. Because look what we did. Look what our ancestors did. Look what they've done. And it's not a coincidence that these two things are related. Now, I can't say this because, obviously, but it just stirs in my mind. Over here, this pasuk is alluding to the fact, and you have to find sources, is that Klal Yisrael were deniers. We're deniers of the chasodim that Hashem done for us. Not to be, just have a lack of gratitude. It's one thing, Hashem, you're very good. You gave me parnasa, you did everything for me. But you know what, Hashem? Enough already. I already thanked you 100 times. Leave me alone. I don't want to thank you anymore. I thank you, you did me a tayva, I paid off my debt. It was worse than that. It was denial. Hashem, you did nothing for us. There was no such thing as the Yitzias Mitzrayim. It never happened. Okay, conservative Judaism, their new Chumash, and the new official book, conservative Chumash, of the conservative movement, it says in the introduction that most of the scholars agree that these events in the Bible never happened. Never happened. Allegorical, it never happened. There was no Yitzias Mitzrayim, we never slaves, blah, 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 blah. That's really right. And this is the modern day thinking, and this is endorsed by the head of the conservative movement. I mean, okay, so it's just shocking. Shocking to say such things, such apikorsis. But the psukim say this. That Klal Yisrael, that's how the Mitzvah Stavah learns, Ha'af ein zos b'nei Yisrael. Are you going to deny this also? Are you going to lie and tell me that it never happened? It never happened. In other words, that's what we were doing. We were in denial. Therefore, if the Gedolei Yisrael tell us that it's not for nothing of blood libels, it's not for nothing that we are suffering today. We have to look for the shirish. Why is it that people are coming to deny the truth? Is it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us that we're also denying reality? We're also denying the chasadim. We're not just ingracious, with lack of gratitude, kufuye toiva. It's worse. It never happened. It never happened. They it says in Tanakh, Klal Yisrael is guilty of this sin. It never happened. And when someone tells us, oh, it never happened, and it caused enormous pain, the consequences are enormous, it never happened, you know, maybe we should start looking within ourselves that we're also deniers. Zel Umazek HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us through the way people speak, the way the world looks at us. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll go over this next time.